And if this phone rings, I'm going to be so in trouble. Let's see if I can. Bear with me. There we go. All right. I don't know if the phone ringing would disconnect the live feed or not, so I've put it on silent mode. Hopefully that'll be enough. I forgot to set it on do not disturb because I'm just not technical like that. I don't remember things. But anyway, hopefully everything will go okay. Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. If you can spell it, I'll give you a quarter. By the way, some smart aleck will spell it, and they'll go I-T. Give me a quarter. No, if you can spell Ecclesiastes, that means you know how to spell these biblical names. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is where we're going this morning for our text. We're going to ask a question this morning. What about the wicked? What about the wicked? We talk about ourselves a lot, but let's talk about the wicked folks for this morning a little bit. We're going to look at what God has to say about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning at verse 8. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. It says, it will not be well with the wicked. The New Living Translation has a unique phrase for this. It says, the wicked will not prosper. I don't necessarily recommend that translation, but it's interesting to give a different light on some passages that we read on a regular basis. The wicked will not prosper. Have you ever noticed how wicked people seem to live forever? Have you noticed that? It's like they just will not go away. So there are dictators, there are evil rulers that seem like they're going to live forever. There's an old saying, only the good die young. I hope that's not true. Liars, thieves, and cheaters, they learn how to play the system to get what they want. And they seem to get away with it. How many get caught? Only a small percentage actually get caught. There's a lot of crime that's committed that they're never able to resolve it, figure out who did it, or anything like that. All these political ads, folks, they're laughable if it wasn't such a serious matter. This one talks badly about that one, and that one throws dirt on this one. Both sides are trying their best to make the other guy look like the bad guy. And whatever I have to do to win, that seems to be the attitude. So they spin the truth like a spider spins a web of lies and deceit and half-truths. The end justifies the means, right? And so the truth gets lost in all the confusion. It's a mess. The Bible is filled with warnings about dealing with this type of people. People that have no character. People that have no honor. People that cause all kinds of trouble for folks that get in their way. These kind of people will take advantage of you. These kind of people will hurt you without thinking twice about it. And so we are warned, be on guard, Do not put your trust in man, and especially in this kind of man. And yet so often, we are enamored by the way they live. Lifestyles of the rich and famous, the mansions of throughout this country are some of the most viewed things on TV and the internet. People want to see how the other side lives, and we look almost adoringly at the lifestyle of these folks, and we dream of winning the lottery so that we can live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, so that we can enjoy this luxury, this abundance of being able to go wherever we want, whenever we want, do whatever we want, and stay as long as we want. However, if you have studied the Word of God, you know that the wicked shall not prosper. Now, it does seem that the wicked do prosper, doesn't it? And they do prosper for a while. But folks, we need to realize that this is talking about the short term. And God's viewpoint is the long term. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We think 100 years is a long time because we're in the middle of living it. But you ask folks that are getting on up there in years, has your life seemed like a long time? And invariably, they're going to tell you, no, no. I remember Brother Sims. He passed away, I think it was 106, and he told Richard about a year before he died, they were looking out across the river, and he said, you know, this place has changed a lot in 100 years, and he was one who actually saw that. He saw that, but he would tell you, my life went by so fast, so fast. Life is in a hurry. People that are focused only on this life and are focused on prospering in this life are often missing the truth. The wicked will not prosper. They will face God one day. Brethren, this life is all these folks have. And God is being merciful by letting them have what luxury or abundance they can enjoy in this life, because this is all they're going to have, because there's going to be a payday someday. And that's just the truth of the matter. The law of sowing and reaping is immutable. That's simply a fancy word meaning it cannot be beaten. It cannot be bypassed. You can't get around it. It is unavoidable. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Oh, people mock God every day, but God is not mocked. They're not going to get away with it. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We need to remember, folks, that God is not on the same schedule as we are. He doesn't operate within the confines of time like we do. And God sees the bigger picture always. We can, so much of our life can be focused on the moment, on the right now. And God sees the right now, but also God sees what's beyond the right now. Now, we may have an attitude about something that happens, and we may say, this isn't fair. And we're right. It's not fair. But as a friend of mine says, it is what it is. It is what it is. In Psalm 73, I want you to turn to this passage, Psalm 73. We're going to look at several verses in this passage to illustrate what I've been saying so far. Asaph is the author of this psalm, and he puts it in perspective. Psalm 73, verse 1 beginning. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Why? For I was envious of the boastful. Now, are you noticing what he's saying? I almost messed up because I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he said, I almost slipped. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Well, yes, they are, but you're just not noticing it because you're seeing the current status, their wealth and their prosperity and their abundance, their luxury, their opulent lifestyle. You're seeing that. You're focusing on that. Verse 6, therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge in abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They have been blessed abundantly. They have everything they could want. And then they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and the waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They're mocking God. Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. Are you hearing the sarcasm? I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. What he's saying, I look at my life, I look at their life, I'm trying to serve God and I'm suffering. They don't care about God and look how they're blessed. No wonder his heart was stumbling. No wonder he was upset. He's seeing this, but he's seeing it through this very narrow focus of right now. And God has a bigger image in mind. Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. If I was going to talk like this, like he's been writing here. This is a frustrated man, but he's speaking with some sarcasm. If I had gone around talking like this, I would have been untrue to God's the generation of your children. When I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. Watch the next verse. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I considered God's word. Until I looked to God. When I stopped looking at their gold and silver, at their bank accounts, that the fancy vehicles and the fancy houses and the fancy clothes and the fancy food, when I stopped looking at how they're able to come and go as they please, do whatever they want, and I look at my life, how I'm very limited, how I can't do all I want to do, when I look at this, yeah, I'm looking through this narrow focus, and I could easily become distracted. But when I turned my face to God, when I considered God, it put this in perspective, is what he's saying. Then I understood their end. I could see the bigger picture when I considered what God has to say. Surely, he's talking to God now, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Let me illustrate this. Have you watched some of America's Funniest Home Videos? You remember seeing that show? What's some of the funniest and yet most groan-worthy things you see on that show? Somebody will be on a slip and slide or something like that, and they're going down standing up, and their feet slip out and bang their head on the ground, and I mean, they hit sudden. And there's not a thing they can do about it. Their feet fly up in the air and they are on the ground. Or some silly person trying to walk across a slippery log across a creek and his feet slip off and he's in the water before he can do a thing about it. And he can't stop it. He couldn't prevent it if he wanted to. And believe me, they don't want to because a lot of times it's cold. Life ends that suddenly. Life is that unstable. And without God's hand holding us in place, we would be on the same slippery slope as the wicked. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift Thanks be to God that He is with His people. He does not abandon us. He has not forsaken us. And no matter what we may face, we're not alone. We're not alone. Not like the wicked. For the wicked must face this life and its end alone. Alone. It is a terrifying thought. The psalmist concluded verse 28. He says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." So it is good to put your trust in God rather than in human riches, rather than in the world's view of prosperity. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 13:15, "Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." The way of sinners is hard. The way of the transgressor, the King James Version says, is hard. If I'm the one who sins, let's face it, that is certainly true. I can't get away with nothing. I can't get away with anything. There's no way that I could pull off a crime. There's no way that I could get away with telling a lie because I would get caught. And I'm sure you feel the same way about yourself. These other guys, they can do it and they seem to get away with it. There's no way I could. I'm going to get busted. I'm going to get caught. It's just the way it is. But these people, so many of these folks, like these politicians, who are as obviously they're as crooked as a creek. They are just deceptive and deceitful. And it doesn't seem to be hard for them to get away with things. But Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah 12, verse 1 and 2. "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind." He's talking about hypocrites, obviously. But he's saying, "Lord, are you blessing these people? So what if they get away with something in this life? Brethren, what if they get away with everything in this life? What if they do? The way of the sinner is hard. They shall not prosper." God has a set of scales. The Old Testament talks about unjust scales. If you're reading in the book of, in the Law of Moses, you can read how that God had told them, warned these merchants, do not cheat people with inaccurate scales, dishonest scales. When you weigh something, you weigh their produce, you better make sure that you don't cheat by putting your thumb on it, making sure it goes a little bit more in your favor some way. You better have honest scales, right? You've read that, no doubt. All right. God has a set of scales, and they are perfectly balanced. And justice will happen, and it will come. Judgment is coming. Brethren, I want to advise you and encourage you. We've looked at Psalm 73. I want you to read Psalm 37. I don't have time to read the whole thing today with you, but it's a Psalm of David. This Psalm will help you. It will help you to understand God's dealing with His people and with the wicked. But we're going to look at verse 1, 2, 10, and 40. I want you on your own to read this entire Psalm today, if you will. In Psalms 37, verse 1 and 2, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 10, "For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." Verse 40, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them," talking about his people, "he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." What do we get out of that? Our focus should not be on what the wicked seem to be able to accomplish. Our focus should be on trusting God and going on and doing what he tells us to do. Because what these people, what the wicked are able to accomplish is not real. And it will not last. To contrast this, remember what God said to Joshua as he began to lead the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and this is true prosperity. And then you will have good success, and we're talking true success. If you focus on maintaining your faithfulness to God by observing to do all that is written in God's word, by observing to keep God's commandments, you will be prosperous and successful. Now, some people take this passage and turn it into a money religion where God's going to give you lots of money and you're going to have a big bank account. And that is satanic. That is not from God. That is from Satan. The love of money is the root of all evil. I think God said that, didn't he? Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think it's verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. Folks, this is not a prosperity religion. It is saying God will truly bless you. You will truly be prosperous. You will truly be prosperous. The wicked seem to prosper, but the wicked do not really prosper. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Solomon says very clearly, you want silver, you get silver, you want something more. You want more. You want abundance, you get increase, it's still not enough, you want more. What is it that the richest man in the world wants? More. That's it. The richest man in the world wants more. Now, isn't that sad? When is enough enough? Well, if your love, if your treasure is money, it's never enough. If your treasure is worldly success, worldly power, worldly influence, it's never going to be enough because it will not fill that empty place in your heart. Jesus told us the same thing. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. What do you treasure most? What do you treasure? Because your heart is there. If you're wondering where your heart is, figure out what it is that you love the most, that you cherish the most. And that's where you'll find your heart. That's where you'll find it. Faye was looking for my glasses this morning. I couldn't see without them, so I couldn't see where they were. But she was looking for them for me because I couldn't find them. She found them right where I left them. Where is your heart? It is where your treasure is. It is where your treasure is. So Jesus is making it abundantly clear. You need to treasure that which is truly going to last. This is real prosperity. This is lasting treasure. But as we wrap this up this morning, what of those who do reject the Savior's wisdom, who will not follow his commands? Folks, the same result is going to happen for all who reject God. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. It is unavoidable. It is immutable. It is the truth. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what should be our response as to the temporary prosperity of the wicked? To the apparent simple and easy life that so many of them seem to have? What should be our response to this? Well, we should be faithful to God regardless of the conduct of the wicked. We should be faithful to God regardless of what happens around us. As I wrote in the bulletin this week about the golden rule, you follow the golden rule no matter how you're treated. You treat people the way you want to be treated regardless of how they treat you.
And so regardless of what happens or seems to happen or not happen to the wicked, we still follow God's rules. We still serve Him, no matter what. But what about the wicked? We can't fix them, can we? We can't fix them. Now, what we need to do with this knowledge, certainly we need to preach it to lost men. We need to warn the wicked. In fact, the Bible specifically instructs us to do that. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8 and 9, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you, if I speak to that, this is God talking to Ezekiel, but ultimately to us. God says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now, we can preach to the wicked, and we need to. Obviously, we can't guarantee results from that preaching, but I can take heed to myself. And I can remember that God's commands are there for me to follow, and I live by those commands by obeying those commands. When I obey God, I will live by God's word. I'll close with Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. I love that verse. There surely is going to be a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. So be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. And don't envy the sinners, because they're going to face that payday someday. And you and I don't want any part of that. We want to lay up treasure in heaven. We want to walk with Jesus, talk with God our Father. We want to share the message with lost sinners. We want to beware of the wicked so we don't fall victim to their wickedness if possible. But even if we do, we want to continue being faithful to the Lord. Don't envy them. Don't wish you were there. You'll sure lose a lot of sleep if you're there, with the wicked. You don't want that. What you want is to serve the Lord. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, either to become a Christian or to you need the prayers of the church, you need to rededicate your life, whatever you need, we want to invite and encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation. We'll sing that song, and we're going to stand in just a moment and sing that song, but I do want to encourage you, follow through, do what God tells you to do, follow through with it, and you will go to heaven. It's a guarantee. You will go to heaven if you will be faithful to the Lord. So whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you to get right with God, come now if you need.